For those of you that are new to events like this, you may not know this, but the event is being organized by somebody who's never organized an event before. She's a newbie, a rookie. Has things been well organized? She stepped out to organize something probably, but... And she has a nice team. It's the youth, not only here, but from Virginia and here and there, and pretty good team, good organizer. Was the kirtan last night nice? Nama Yoga? One reminder also for those of you that have not participated in gatherings like this, specifically when we're conducting extended chanting. Mukunda, in his announcements, very kindly mentioned yesterday. I'm going to say it twice this morning. Mona Vrata. Mona Vrata means shh. Unless you're a parent that has to deal with a child that needs something, or unless you're an administrator that has to say something and that doesn't work, just to send him a text message. It's silence, and one of the best ways we'll find out is as soon as the class is over, have you heard that we're observing Mona Vrata? So please, it will help concentration by just the sound of the holy name. That's what we're doing today. Now, show of hands, how many have already chanted 16 rounds? Awesome. I won't ask you how many you're targeting. But it's not uncommon for, although this is a short session, normally we have a 64-round day, it's still well into the afternoon. But many people like 64 rounds in a short period of time. So let's see how it goes. And we'll have some sharing that's in the schedule. I guess Mukunda's going to make some announcements about that. Later you're going to talk about the schedule. You prepared to say something about the schedule? After the class. After the class. It's okay. So this, traditionally, I'm going to follow tradition in that this is going to be a short discussion so that we'll have maximum time for chanting. Here's our theme presented once again, Awakening Nama Rasa. And the theme is based upon text number 7 from Nectar of Instruction. By the way, whoever is responsible, Madhu Mangal, could you see that we have some Nectar of Instruction books available for this evening? Because that's going to be the evening talk. And I'll say, go to somewhere and if you want a copy. Okay. Let's chant the verse one more time. Syat Krishna Nama Charitada Satapya Vidya Pito Patapta Rasanaya Narochikano Kimtvadarad Anudinam Kalosaiva Jushta Svadhi Kramad Bhavatitad Gulamolahantri. Now, this is a continuation of the second class that was emphasizing carefully chanting. Translation, the holy name, character, pastimes, and activities of Krishna are all transcendentally sweet, like sugar candy. Although the tongue of one afflicted by the jaundice of avidya, or ignorance, cannot taste anything sweet, it is wonderful. that simply by carefully chanting these sweet names every day, a natural relish awakens within his tongue, and his disease is gradually destroyed at the root. So we've been discussing this every class. We're going to discuss it one more time, primarily based upon some transcendental sound vibrations coming from Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And you'll find that on page 17 of your handout sheet, handout little packet. Just going to read and discuss briefly. O Harinam, please enter my heart through my ears. That's not Bhakti Siddhanta, that's me. Without Shravana, that's hearing, there is no Kirtana. First Shravana, then Kirtana. Then, from the same source, unless accompanied by Shravana, any attempt to perform Kirtana must be material. Repeated hearing gives rise to Kirtana and Smarana. By hearing Kirtana, one begins to perform Kirtana. And from performing Kirtana, Smarana of Harikatha awakens. As I travel here and there, I find remote places, little children that, who knows who they were in their previous life, but devotee children, they have rhythm, and they learn to play mridanga, they learn to play harmonium, and I ask, you know, who's your teacher? They just watch videos, listen to kirtan, they have, you know, I guess, they have an ear or an aptitude or both, and then they just perform, and it's not like only cute, it's powerful. There's one family, the little boy, he was hardly, you know, old enough to sit up straight at the harmonium. The harmonium was bigger than him. And he would move his head back and forth like this and sing very beautifully. And he had many melodies. And imagine, in the devotee community, he was a popular kirtan singer. What to speak? Then he was invited to be the prime kirtan singer out in public. And the little boy, you know, 2-3 years old, harmonium bigger than his body, singing away just from hearing. And wanting to, it wasn't wanting attention from the audience. It was, there was support from his father. He would like sometimes, you know, space out and his father would tap him on the shoulder. Oh, okay, okay. Getting support from his father. But he just loved kirtan. He still loves kirtan. He's a little older now. Loves kirtan. Doesn't have to have the, doesn't space out, doesn't have to get the reminder. Because attention span for children isn't great. But it's just an illustration. There's many others. I'm thinking of several others, but I won't. It's natural. As even a child can do, so even big kids can do, by Shravanam, Kirtanam follows. Now here's a very powerful one, right on the topic that I wanted to emphasize, I've been trying to emphasize. The name of the Lord and the Lord himself are not two separate entities, but one. When the sound of the holy name passes over the lips, the conditioned sense of hearing and the conditioned consciousness initially process the sound as if it were material. And that is how it is perceived. As a result, only the external ear hears it. Paragraph. Since all the other senses and the mind, which is the collector of sensory experience, are envious of the ear, which they consider to be an equal partner, the result is that such chanting does not affect the cleansing of anarthas. Paragraph. We do not have the capacity even to theoretically know that the name and the Lord of the name are one. It's not one of those. Okay. Put it on my hard drive. Now I got it. It's not like that. Yet, just as piercing of the ear is one of the Vedic rites for a young child, when our spiritual ear has been pierced by the holy name, the other senses give up their envy of the auditory sense. They no longer quibble with the ear, which alone can perceive transcendental sound. Then the flood of prema pours forth from the spiritual senses and cleanses away the contaminants of opposition and malice. Paragraph. Thereafter, the Lord's beautiful form, qualities, associates, and pastimes are revealed in the name himself. You've been saying these points? Nama, Rupa, Guna, Lila. Haridas Thakur teaches like that. It's a sequence. It's a unfolding of entrance into the name. And within the name has all of these features. It's not, I'll say it again, it's before. It's not when you chant nicely, then somewhere over there, you'll be able to see the form. Not the intended meaning. The intended meaning is within the name, with the syllables itself is a form. Like, you know, what's spiritual form anyways? We know what material form is. Here we got one. And there's a table. And etc. There's some chairs and there's the ceiling and the fans, and we know what form is. And so what's spiritual form? That's not what it is. So what is it? Well, we can't adjust, because that which is transcendental, the name and the form, are different. We say it over and over, you know, in our teachings. You say the word water, and the word water doesn't quench your thirst, because the word and the object are different. You can say chair, but you can't sit on the word. You have to have a chair. The word is the symbol of something. So there's a distinction in the material world. The name of something and the sound of that name are different than the object. But spiritually, there's no difference. We say that. So we don't have the capacity even to theoretically know that the name and the Lord of the name are one. But the capacity is through the ear, hearing. That's our assignment, lifelong. And we'll have a nice opportunity today. Hear. Hear the sound. We vibrate the sound and hear the sound. I was thinking, gee, we might get a lot of people chanting too loudly in the temple room if we chant respectfully, so the people around you can also hear not just your chanting, but their chanting. Because otherwise people will be driven out of the temple room. And but here, doesn't have to be, it has to be audible. Not. If you're in your home, you can chant loud. That's okay. Audible. So, Thereafter, the Lord's beautiful form, qualities, associates, and pastimes are revealed in the name Himself. And experienced by the chanter as something quite distinct from his previous experiences in the material world. Then, the kinds of worries and distractions of the mind, we spoke multiple times about distracted chanting, that are typical of the conditioned living being, cannot remain. Hearing paragraph. When we learn to hear as we chant, the opportunity to remember Krishna will automatically arise. At that time, Ashtakaliya Lila Smarana will become possible, and there is no need artificially to try for it. That's a practice some places outside of ISKCON, and that's what they try to do. And they promote it. And some devotees think, hey, that sounds really cool. But that's not what our Acharya Bhaktisiddhanta is teaching. Few more, and we'll wind it up. Bhaktisiddhanta, from his writing, Sri Chaitanya's teaching, that's a published book. This, what I just read is a letter to a disciple, a Mataji Patravali. So, 1928, it's true today, 2018. Okay, so it's from a book. The mind and the body are upadis, or external casings. The soul is actually free from all this. Our soul has to be set free. Somebody was describing yesterday in a little discussion. I'm stuck and I'm down and I want freedom. Here we go. All perishable values require to be eliminated. Then we shall see that we have devotion. We are devotees. Transcendental sound will be the agency. Sri Krishna Chaitanya has told us to place our reliance solely on the name of Hari. The transcendental sound, in capitals, has got the potency to regulate our other senses, including our distracted mind and our other, and the feelings that float around and within the mind. It is the absolute sound, again in capitals, which will carry us to the region of the absolute. Now there's something we have to do. We have to endeavor. We have to endeavor with some intention. And we have to, the other is mercy. Be eager to receive. Be in the mood of service. Be eager to receive the mercy. Almost done. The kirtan of Hari is the constant and natural function of all the facilities of the jiva. In its constitutional state, free from all affinities with this changeable world. That is because the absolute truth is identical with Hari. Hari has to be served exclusively, constantly, and by all the facilities of the soul. The only function of the voice is to chant the kirtan of Hari, which is identical with and inseparable from the simultaneous service of Hari by all the other senses. One who does not employ his voice constantly and exclusively in chanting the kirtan of Hari has no access to the service of Hari by any other faculty. And two more. Inclination to kirtan effects shravana and the opportunity for smarana. At the same time, there is the possibility of serving within Krishna's Ashtakaliya Leela. In all respects, pray to Sri Nam for his mercy. This is the same message. In the mood of service, and the service, it's a service of hearing, and all other services, parenting and going to school and going to the office and cooking in the kitchen and whatever are the other things, driving your car. All the other services are resting upon their part and parcel of our service to Krishna, service to Hari. And the starting service, the entrance into the transcendental realm, the absolute realm, is the service of hearing. That's the service, praying for the mercy. Nice formula. The last, in yellow highlight, Nama Bhajan completely fulfills the jiva's every need. This was the statement that Gopakumar in Brihat Bhagavatamrita received from his spiritual master, who gave him his mantra, and all he said was, "This will fulfill all your desires." Now, that can be dangerous, because our desires are abundant, and some of them are unwholesome. But if one's intention is to connect with the Supreme, that's this reaching in a mood of service, even our conception is not so clear. But the one original source of everything, I want to connect with that reality with a capital R. I want to feel that connection and be in a relationship with that supreme source of everything, merciful Krishna. Then the other distractions become cleansed by that power of hearing. So you've seen this image before. Images are important for visual people, and I'm one of them. There's the reflection, and there's the object that's making the reflection. There's the rippling in the water, that's the mind, and the disturbances and agitations of the mind, which happen constantly. The ever-changing mind, chanchala mana, and then there's the name. And we want to bring our attention to the name, to move from the abhas to the shuddha stage. And when that happens, it's the medium is hearing. And when that happens, the mind becomes inert. And the senses similarly become undisturbed. Here's that nice verse, Rupa Goswami verse. I do not know how much nectar the two syllables Krishna have produced. When the holy name of Krishna is chanted, it appears to dance within the mouth. We then desire many, many mouths. When that name enters the holes of the ears, we desire many millions of ears. And when the holy name dances in the courtyard of the heart, it conquers the activities of the mind, and therefore all the senses become inert. That's the art of mind control, or the art of mindfulness. Hearing. Preceding the hearing is we have to make the sound, but then hear properly. Mind becomes conquered or stunned senses become inert, become a stone, but the reaching, extending of consciousness out to what's going on out there and controlling it and doing stuff, arranging stuff, controlling stuff, fixing problems, one becomes peaceful and full. And then by that method, that's how Namarasa awakens. Here's that image again that you saw before. You can't see because it's too much light during the morning hour, but there's the ear. There's an ear here. And there's the sound of Krishna going in the ear. So we've been hearing from Bhaktisiddhanta on the importance of hearing. And one last little very nice item. 1967, Srila Prabhupada wrote a letter. It's on the final page, page 19 of your booklet I'm going to read. To Vallabhi Dasi. When chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, you should always feel the presence of Krishna in person. And as soon as you remember Krishna in person, you can remember also about his talks with Arjuna. If you cannot remember Krishna in person, you should try to hear attentively the word Krishna, Hare, as you go on chanting. This is 1967. The spirit soul does not evolve like the body. The body has got six transformations, namely, the body takes its birth, it grows, it remains for some time, it produces some byproducts, it dwindles, and then it vanishes. All these six changes of the body are not applicable to the soul. The soul is permanent. It has no development, no decrease, no destruction, nothing of the sort as compared with the body. The only difficulty of the soul is that in the conditioned state of the material body, the soul is supposed to forget its identity, semicolon. By chanting Hare Krishna, gradually the soul revives its identity. And it comes out from the forgetfulness. This is not exactly development, but is reviving one's consciousness. Everything will be gradually clear as you go on chanting Hare Krishna. Please try to chant at least 16 rounds of the beads and the big letters. I made them big letters. While chanting, try to hear each and every word that will make you advance in every respect. So we're here, we're gathered for that purpose of strengthening in the association of other devotees our focus upon this wonderful gift, the jewel treasury case, and the key to get in and experience, not possess, but be nourished by the gift that we've been given. Recommend. It's only going to get up to 93 degrees, and it's only a little humid. It's supposed to be thunder showers in the afternoon, 30%. So it's a little hot and uncomfortable. Those of you that are from Florida, it's no problem, but hot and humid is part of Florida. Those of us from up north, it's a little different. But we'll leave the fans on. And we'll put Tulsi in the temple room. Prayer to the deities, to Tulsi, to the name, to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there he is. And his dear associate, Lord Nityananda, the giver of the pure holy name, simply on the condition that there is some faith. stay in the association as much as you can. If you need to go for a walk or deal with something, feel free to do so. But then when you come back, commonly, when I came back into the temple room with the devotees, it was very beneficial, made much easier to stay focused and chanting. And something that helped, that helps, that has helped devotees, find somebody in the temple room who's absorbed and sit next to that somebody who's absorbed. Something happens. It helps you get absorbed. And if you get to the point where you're distracted again, start hearing. Or don't space out. Hear, think of these little sutras. Just surrender to the sound, vibration of the holy name. Or really simple, please just hear. Ear. Ear. And the ear will conquer the mind. Have a happy journey. We'll get back together again at whatever time Mukunda tells us we're going to get back together.